Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Wednesday, November the 25th, Thanksgiving Day Eve. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Joining me to co-host today is Fred Jackson.
Yes, I'm moved away from Venus. And back on the planet.
Back on planet Earth with me here in our studio. Mm-hmm. Walker has the day off. Abe won't be with us. And who else is being lazy
Alex
today? Oh. I'm just kidding. we got our staff is slimming down around here, as it does in a lot of places because of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Folks are on the road. We'll talk about that in a few minutes because they're on the road, but they mm-hmm. shouldn't be going to kill people like they are Americans. Ray Pritchard, how you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good, Tim, and how are you doing on this day before Thanksgiving?
Now, where are the Pritchards getting together?
Well, some of us are. You know, we've got our family scattered between Montana and Chicago, but our Kansas City crew, we will all be together safe and sound in an undisclosed location. I'm not saying where, somewhere tomorrow.
An unmarked bunker.
That's right.
Somewhere in Kansas City. All right, Chris Woodward, good morning to you.
Good morning. I tell you, Venus has great TV reception. I got Newsmax, I got Fox, and I can see into Ray's living room. Right. Who knew he had elephants?
Yeah, you're sitting there in command there on the planet Venus.
Steve Jordahl is on his way. It takes a few light years to get here from the newsroom.
Just for those who don't know, we social distance here, and we call where Chris is Venus. Fred and I are on Earth, and Ray's in on Pluto, is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm on Pluto.
Just Pluto's the last one, right?
That's the last one, hanging onto the edge of the solar system.
Now, which one of the planets got kicked out?
Pluto.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then they put it back in, right?
I think they appealed.
The people of Pluto voted to come back
it's
in.
It's being challenged in court.
It's being challenged in court.
That's right. People want to call it planet cracking.
A lot of funny voting fraud going on when Pluto was kicked out. Among the other planets.
They had a lot of aliens voting.
That's exactly right.
That was good, Chris. Are they legal or illegal aliens would be my question. All right. So, hey, Stephen McDowell, I just got off a text with him. Can you get off a text with somebody? I guess you can.
Yeah, sure.
And I just asked him at the last minute. He's the president and founder of the Providence Foundation. He is a historian. And many of you have been with us to Washington, D.C. and or Williamsburg with Stephen. He's going to be on with us at 10:30, like in 22 minutes, and he's going to talk about the first Thanksgiving and the real story, the real history of that.
Amen.
And so that ought to be encouraging as we learn more about our Christian heritage in the U.S. of A. All right, let's see. You can watch us on Facebook and YouTube if you want to. You can check that out. Facebook, YouTube, we live video stream the show. Just type in Today's Issues. We also post the stories that we discuss here on Today's Issues on our Facebook page. Was there anything else we need to take care of? I can't think of anything.
No, I took care of all the administrative stuff.
Okay.
Dive into it.
Okay, go, Chris.
All right. President Trump looks like he's going to join Rudy Giuliani, one of his attorneys, at a hotel today in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, where the Republican-led State Senate Majority Policy Committee is holding what it's calling a hearing on fraud allegations in this month's election. As we have talked about for many, many days now on this great program, the Trump campaign continues to challenge election results in Pennsylvania and other states. And I have some sound here. I want to get you guys to react to this. Laura Trump, the president's daughter-in-law, had this to say on Fox and Friends this morning about the election results and the president's legal challenges. Clip 9.
Well, I think whenever you look at this election, it's become very clear to people that something is very, very wrong here. How is it that a guy like Joe Biden, who throughout the course of his campaign could barely scrape together, you know, a dozen people at an event, all of a sudden got 80 million people so inspired that they came out to vote for him. You contrast that with what we have seen continually throughout the entire time Donald Trump has been in office, which is that he has continued to hold rallies, and those rallies have attracted tens of thousands of people. People wait in line for days, as you guys know, to see the president. We know where the enthusiasm lies. We know that, you know, there were 74 million people that we at least know of. I think it's probably even bigger than that. They came out to vote for Donald Trump, but people feel like something is really off with this election, which is why we are saying we want every legal vote counted. We are continuing to push forward and make sure that that happens. I know there are a lot of people that just want to sweep this under the rug and say, okay, well, we're done with this election. We are far from done with this election.
What do you guys think?
Right.
Well, she's right. Fred. Count every legal vote. He's also right that the media pressure is just growing day by day by day to sweep this all under the rug and say, let's not discuss it. But I like the way she said it. Not just count every vote, count every legal vote and discount every illegal vote.
Yeah, I think it'd be good, folks, to go back to the article, Tim, that you referenced yesterday, The Federalist. Five things you need to be looking at, folks. And these aren't suppositions. These are facts. For instance, President Trump on November the 3rd got 10 million more votes than he did in 2016. 10 million more votes. But we are expected to believe that he lost to a candidate, Joe Biden, and magically who got, what, 80 million votes or something of that nature? Mm-hmm. He got 80 million votes, even though he didn't campaign. I think Laura Trump said this morning, even though only about 12 people showed up at his virtual rallies, and we're expected to believe.
But they were honking, Fred.
They were honking those horns.
Just like geese.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to look at all those things. And by the way, this Federalist article, folks, you got to go read it. I think it's still on our site. It makes such critical factual points in all of this. And it is worth going to read. For instance, in bellwether states, the ones that supposed to count, Ohio, Florida, that Trump won in those states, Joe Biden did not. In fact, in most cities that Hillary Clinton won in 2016, Joe Biden got fewer votes than Hillary Clinton did in 2016, but there were four exceptions. Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Atlanta, and Detroit. So that's where Joe Biden apparently won the election, in those four Democrat-controlled cities. Yeah. And that's why people are scratching their heads at the very least and saying, how did that happen?
You know, here's the thing. There should be some major investigative reporting going in to this election.
Yes.
By mainstream news media organizations.
Should be.
There really should be, because the things that are pointed out, that you pointed out right there, which the Federalist Society article points out, which, by the way, as we said yesterday, we put it on our must-read list. It'll take you about 10 minutes to read it. It's a column, and it's still on our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page. But, you know, curious investigative reporter would say, to the things that Laura Trump was talking about, and also the facts that, again, can't reiterate this enough, just the one statistic that just jumps out at me, and there are many, but just jumps out to the front, is that Joe Biden underperformed statistically all over America. He underperformed Hillary Clinton in big cities.
Yeah.
All over America. With the exception of five cities. And those five cities, Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, Atlanta. What was the other one?
It was four, actually.
Four. Four cities.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not, that's just odd.
Yes.
To say the least. It's odd. And deserves a thorough investigation as to why that was.
And the other thing is that, and we've talked about this before, Republicans picked up 12 House seats.
Yeah.
It looks like four in California.
Yeah.
So when you think about how people look at a ballot, Do you really want to believe that in 12 incidents in these House races, apparently they voted for the Republican for House and Senate, but at the top of the ticket they voted for Biden?
Yeah.
They wanted to get the Democrat out of office, but somehow they like Joe Biden.
I know. It's just so many things that were you just scratch your head about. And so anyway, Rudy Giuliani is in he's in Gettysburg with the president today. Is that what you said, Chris?
Yes, sir.
So the president is going there to be with him to talk about where the legal team stands right now. Is that
correct?
Right?
Yeah, and some Republican state lawmakers there in Pennsylvania are going to be talking about fraud allegations as well, or holding a hearing on it.
Well, the president's team does not have a good record right now. They do not have a good record in court.
Yeah.
Well, some of the cases that have been lost were actually not put up by themselves, but by other people supporting the president. And we all understood you are going to have to make some preliminary investigations. You're going to have to file some lawsuits.
Right.
They were going to get turned down to get to the meat of the issue. I think they're down to it now, and it's just about time, right? Because we're running out of days to do something. So all that's happened so far, Tim, with the lawsuits, that doesn't even matter. It just doesn't matter. What matters now is that they find a way to make something stick and get something up to the Supreme Court,
right?
And let's see what happens.
Uh-huh. Chris?
Well, there is another story that's being talked about a lot today. Joe Biden continues to say that he won the election, and he's taking steps to begin what's called the transition between two chief executives or president. Now, Biden yesterday named a bunch of people to what he's calling his cabinet, should he be the president in a couple of months. Just looking at some of the names here, Avril Haines, she would be the first woman to lead the U.S. intelligence community. He also wants Antony Blinken to be Secretary of State. Former Massachusetts Senator and Secretary of State John Kerry is going to be called what's being described as a climate envoy. So he's going to fly back and forth to save the planet. We do. We do. At everybody's expense.
We need a climate envoy. Where does he...
He's basically
does he travel around the world on jets?
Yeah, he's going to fly around the world to save us from our harmful emissions.
Okay.
Now there is some sound here.
By the way, aren't we past the point of no return?
No, that's coming up in a few years. If you go with what AOC and others have been warning,
Al Gore said that 25 years ago.
He did. Yeah, I mean,
we get to the point, mm-hmm. and these climate change global warming folks. And they tell us we got 5-10 years to save the planet.
Correct.
We get to the 5 to 10 years, we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, no, we got 10 more years to save the planet. And then we get there, and then they say, no, this is a crisis. We got 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it. They always seem to be giving us the
to
10 year
yeah.
or 15 year because it fits nicely with their time to be elected to change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I mean, I'm in my 30s, and pretty much my entire lifetime, people have been warning that, you know, the end of the world from climate change is near. Matter of fact, I've talked about this before on the show, and I don't really remember every little detail of this film, but an American president back in the mid-90s, it had Michael Douglas, he was the president, and Annette Bening was an environmental lawyer or lobbyist. That
I remember that movie.
Yeah.
What was it called?
China Syndrome?
No, American president. But basically, the arguments that Annette Bening's environmental lawyer or lobbyist character makes in that thing are the same things that we see and hear from people today, almost 30 years later. So to prove Tim's point, people have been talking about this for a long time.
People who, on the other side of this, they would say, well, you people are ignorant science deniers. You're just a bunch of hillbilly hicks who don't know anything, and you're leading us to a place where it's going to burn up. Our planet is going to burn up because of people like you.
Yeah.
You and your SUV.
Well, these are the same people that ignore the science that proves that's a baby that can feel pain. And they still stand by abortion.
Right. So science isn't necessarily their end-all, be-all.
Right.
I would just say this. There may be global warming. And I've studied this about 5 years ago, pretty in-depth, but then I got bored with it, moved on to football and golf and other things that are much more meaningful to our world. But I studied this, and there may be – global warming, or places around the world that's warming up. But tying that to man-made, to a man-made scenario, was unconvincing.
That's right.
To me. And so, change, like President Trump said, we're going to change America, make all these regulations for environmental change, and America's supposed to lead the way, and we're supposed to do it all the while. The main polluters in this world, China,
yes,
India,
Russia,
for example, huh?
Yep.
They don't have to comply to the same regulations that we're putting on ourselves here.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Ivanka Trump, I was reading a story the other day. You know, carbon emissions have actually gone down in the United States.
Substantially.
Almost 10% just in the last year.
Did President Trump get any credit for that?
Absolutely not.
No. Okay.
Absolutely not. Now, you know, we've talked about this before. What is this climate change thing all about? It's really about globalism.
It's control.
It's what it is.
Yeah,
it's globalism.
Yeah.
It's the United States surrendering to the rest of the world.
Right. And the globalists want to use this to seize power of America's economic engine.
Yes.
And control us.
That's right.
In the name of protecting. It's just saying, it's just, Ray, you can watch this over and over in human history. People will surrender their freedoms if they're scared to death.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and sometimes there's good reason to be scared to death.
Well, look what's happening with the lockdown.
Right.
Look what's happening, the closing of the schools. This crazy Thanksgiving, trying to shame people about meeting with your family for Thanksgiving. It's a human thing, Tim, that when people in authority scare you enough, I mean, that's such a primal human emotion that we're letting the old folks just kind of waste away in the old folks home and in the nursing home. And it's tragic what's happening. And they're using what has worked with the COVID stuff, they're using in the climate scare area. It's the same tactic, and it's working.
Yes. Yep. But there are a lot of people fighting back, and a lot of people are on to the climate change folks, and what there are a lot of people who genuinely believe the planet's about to be set on fire, and so they, you know, and so they're trying to persuade and enact laws. But then there's the other folks who are at the globalists, as you say, Fred, who want to use the environmental movement to start to control, especially the American economy, and to promote universal laws, okay, in the name of saving the planet. And you go, wonder what their ultimate objective here is.
Yeah.
And all these limousine liberals that, especially the Hollywood celebrities, just kill me when they want to tell us about do our part for climate change while they hop on their private jet.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, when Nancy Pelosi goes home, she doesn't fly coach on Delta to San Francisco. You know, listen, the hypocrisy.
Which means they don't believe it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right, right.
That's right.
They don't really believe it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the other part of this web is the mainstream media does not challenge them on this. When's the last time you saw a reporter running down Nancy Pelosi on Friday afternoon at Reagan Airport saying, hey, you going on the Delta flight? Oh, no, I'm going over here to the private jet.
Right.
And I'm going to burn $20,000 worth of fuel to get home to San Francisco
for
the weekend.
At your expense.
At your expense, taxpayer.
Right.
Another good example of that, of the hypocrisy here, is President Obama. Now, everybody that has the money and the means to do it can buy the house he or she wants for their family and all that stuff. But, you know, Barack Obama has for years now warned about rising sea levels and climate change, things like that. And then he goes and buys his a ginormous house for his family on Martha's Vineyard, which is near water.
Yes.
And then also he still goes to his vacation home in Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's a lot of emissions there that the average person is not responsible for. But nobody questions him about these things because he's Barack Obama, you know.
Next story.
Well, just to prove how the media is on liberals and the fact that they never say anything negative about them, let's do a little bit of a montage here. This is a montage of media types talking up the Biden cabinet picks. Clip one.
I was talking to a Democrat who just said, this also felt like the Avengers. It felt like we're being rescued from this craziness that we've all lived through from the last 4 years, and now here are the superheroes to come and save us all.
And Joe Biden saying, these are people, this is a team who's going to tell me, this team will tell me what I need to know, what not what I want to know. That is a big change.
They are deeply experienced. They are humble, and they are lifelong public servants. They are not political. They are just career people. They have worked together for many years.
Who are we talking about here?
It's just various liberals.
His cabinet. Yeah. You know, it's so much I'd like to say about this. Joe Biden yesterday picked Jacob J. Sullivan as his national security advisor. Well, thanks to Greg Jarrett at Fox News, that name may not mean a lot to a whole bunch of people, but according, you know, Greg Jarrett says Sullivan knee-deep in the Hillary Clinton email scandal. You know who was emailing Hillary Clinton to her private server at her house when she was Secretary of State? Mr. Sullivan. You know, so that is why a lot of people are saying, really, the Biden administration, if it does come about, is going to be Obama 0.2. That's what we're going to have Obama 0.2. Come on, John Kerry has your climate czar. We're bringing back the Obama team. That's all we're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Biden claims that this is not going to be a third term. Okay. Yeah, thanks. but we do have some sound of him saying as much. Mr. Biden told NBC's Lester Holt that this will not be a third Obama term. Clip 6.
This is not a third Obama term because we face a totally different world than we faced in the Obama-Biden administration. President Trump has changed the landscape. It's become America first, which meant America alone.
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
Remember Barack Obama? We're going to change the country, going to change the world. Chuck Schumer a few weeks ago, we're going to take Georgia and then we're going to take the world.
Right. Yeah.
This is about the globalist agenda once again.
So did Chuck Schumer mean America first is going to take the world?
No.
No.
No. America surrender.
Yeah.
America's. Ray, what do you think?
Well, we're moving toward multiculturalism on steroids, globalism on steroids. America first is going to disappear. Biden's going to move as quickly as he can to erase every good thing that President Trump did in the last 4 years, because they just don't even, you know, Fred, they don't even like the idea of saying America first.
No.
I don't understand. If I'm the leader of a nation, I've got to think of my nation first, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have to. That's why you're elected. So I don't get it, but Biden's going to lead in a completely different direction.
I tell you what, he would do well to leave the economy alone, because President Trump is handing him off some good. The frame is up on the House.
Right.
Okay.
The Dow hit 30,000 yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
Highest ever.
And before the pandemic, we were sailing along.
Yes.
At a pretty good clip.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what happened there. When you shut everything down, you're going to have to suffer the consequences of that. Again, in the name of saving Granny, right? I'm not saying we shouldn't save Granny. You get my point there. Mm-hmm. In case my mother-in-law is listening. I'm saying that the president and his team have built a pretty solid economic structure, and Joe Biden would do well to leave alone.
That's right.
Because he will be the benefactor of it. He'll get credit for something he never started. Mm-hmm. But if he starts dismantling it, it's gonna be bad for him and the Democrats. That's my thoughts on the economy. Well, hey, what happened the first Thanksgiving? We're going to talk about that when we get back with Stephen McDowell.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've announced our dates for our Spiritual Heritage Tours for 2021. We'll be going in June and we'll be going in September. And folks are already signing up for these wonderful Christian heritage experiences. Now, we're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Wow, the history there is phenomenal. You're going to see so much when we visit those three sites. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. These are two separate tours, but they're back-to-back in case you want to do both of them. So again, those are in June and September 2021. People are already signing up. So if you want to be a part of these, the information is available to you at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Everything's there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Todd to the number 49596. That's Todd to the number 49596. Tensions are rising across the nation as Democrat lawmakers crack down on small business owners, forcing many to shut down in the name of public safety. In Memphis, Tennessee, a black county commissioner accused a group of white restaurant owners of being racist for complaining about mask mandates. Diners are now required to wear a face mask in between bites of fried chicken and sips of sweet tea. In Erie County, New York, about 100 business owners showed up at a private gym to meet about the China virus rules and regulations in their town. At some point, the health department showed up and ordered the crowd to disperse. Instead, the business owners stood their ground and demanded to see a warrant. And when one could not be presented, they ordered the health inspector to leave the property. The melting pot is simmering, folks, and soon it's going to be boiling. Be sure to download my free podcast. Listen to my national radio show at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues. Should you want to send us an email and tell us that we're climate deniers, climate change deniers, I guess. No, if you want to send us an email, we read them. We can't respond to all of them, although we can, we try. The email is comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. If you want to join us online, we're live video streaming the show today. Facebook and YouTube, just type in Today's Issues. Today's Issues. Well, what happened the first Thanksgiving we had here in our country? And really before there was a country, right? And joining us to talk about it is Stephen McDowell. Stephen is president and founder of the Providence Foundation, based in Charlottesville, VA. And Stephen has been on with us many, many times, and he and I have done the tours together for 20-something years. So a lot of things about Stephen that annoy me, but I won't get into that for this particular interview. Spend that much time together. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Tim. I'm doing great. I'm glad you're going to ignore the problem.
I'm sure there's nothing about me that gets on his nerves from time to time. all right. So where are you at? Are you traveling today? Or are you in Charlottesville?
No, I'm in Charlottesville.
Okay.
Just enjoying wearing my mask when I go out.
You enjoy? No, I know that's not true because you voiced your opinion about the mask to me, the mask mandates. All right. What, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving Day tomorrow all over this country, as we do every year. But I wanted you to tell us about how this originated, if you would. The holiday itself, when was it proclaimed, and then what was the story behind it?
Well, it was President Lincoln who set aside an official annual day of Thanksgiving, saying that we as a nation need to give thanks to God for his many gracious blessings. But this tradition of having official Thanksgiving had been going on since the very founding of our nation. Hundreds of proclamations for days of Thanksgiving by governments had occurred. But we traced the tradition back to the Pilgrims. And by the way, this year is the 400th anniversary of the landing of the Pilgrims. It was in November of 1620 that they first landed at Cape Cod, and then in the next month they found their way to Plymouth. So this is a very significant year that we remember them, their Christian character, and their great contributions in areas of civil government, but in our tradition as a Thanksgiving. So, you know, the Pilgrims were very devout Christians. In fact, they were coming to the New World because they wanted to have a place where they could freely worship God, could raise their children in a biblical manner, and as their governor, William Bradford, says, that they might propagate the gospel of the kingdom of Christ and be stepping stones to others that followed. So that was certainly their motivation. You know, that first, they got here in December 1620, they started building houses, and up in New England, it's cold and miserable, and that first winter, half their number died from scurvy and other diseases and lack of provisions. So you can imagine the difficult time they faced. But thanks to God and God sending Indians, there's a Squanto was an Indian that had miraculously survived the plague that had wiped out the Patuxent Indians. That was his adopted tribe that he was away at the time. But that was his tribe that he was away at the time. And when the Pilgrims came and looked at Plymouth, this side of Plymouth, that's where these very Indians had been living up until that plague in 1617. But Squanto had been back in England. He'd come in 1619 back home, found his tribe had all been wiped out, joined himself to a nearby tribe. But when he had heard the Pilgrims came and were settling at the very spot where he used to live, he took it under his mission. I want to take care of these guys. So he took them under their wing, taught them how to survive in the wilderness and plant corn and how to fish. And without Squanto, they wouldn't have survived that very difficult first months that they lived there. And that's why William Bradford called him a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectations. So because of Squanto and God's grace, by the time that fall of 1621 came, they had a harvest. It was enough to barely meet their needs. It was a meager harvest, but they had survived. So they said, we want to give thanks to God because he's watched over us, he's guided us, he sent us people like Squanto to take care of us. So Governor Bradford appointed a day of Thanksgiving. And he invited the nearby Wampanoag Indians, that was Squanto's adopted tribe, to celebrate and give thanks to God. So Chief Massasoit and 9 of his men came and brought with them deer and other things. So they feasted together, ate turkey, deer, fish, lobster, eels, vegetables, cornbread, herbs, berries, pies. The Indians even taught them how to make popcorn. But it wasn't just, you know, one afternoon. The Massasoit liked it so much, they stayed 3 days. And they competed in games, running, wrestling, shooting games, and had a marvelous Thanksgiving. But as Bradford said, you know, this is to give thanks to the God who preserved and brought us over here and began to use them as stepping stones.
What year was that?
That was 1621. Of course, they arrived in November 1620, but it was, you know, that year later when they had their first harvest and They began to see, hey, we can make it here in this new world. And their heart for God was certainly seen, you know, we want to set this time aside. And they continued to do that.
So it really did happen, you know, in like a lot of us think it did. That is, the Indians or the Native Americans and the Pilgrims got together for a feast and fun. But a time to show appreciation and thank God for the bounty.
That's right. Yeah, and they, you know, Squanto not only helped them survive, but he helped them enter into a peace treaty. The Pilgrims and those nearby Indian tribes. That peace treaty lasted 50 years. An amazing thing.
Yeah.
And so, yes, and they did it. But of course, today, a lot of modern people say we have a Thanksgiving Day to give, you know, thanks to just and to nobody, someone in general, or thanks to the Indians. Now, they were grateful to the Indians, but it was thankful to their God who had delivered them miraculously from all these things and had brought Squanto and Samoset and other Native Americans to help them. They saw that as God's provision.
So I'm eating popcorn right now.
Yeah,
and you're telling me this goes back to the Indians?
Well, that's what I read, that the Indians, you know, were making popcorn and taught
the Pilgrims how to make popcorn. And America, now it's a great American tradition.
Still doing it.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, tell us about your website and what's there.
Well, providencefoundation.com. We have this article, Why We Celebrate Thanksgiving. You can go to our homepage, and it's one of the featured articles. You can print out a copy, and I would encourage everyone to use this to teach your family and friends about this uniquely American holiday. So we have that on our website, providencefoundation.com, many, many other articles and things that will help you to remember what the Pilgrims carried with them, that God is the author of history. He's the one that is directing events of history to accomplish his purpose. He watched over the Pilgrims because he had a plan and purpose for them and for this nation. And that's why I believe he used people like the Pilgrims to start America. So you can access that, go to it, and print it out and read it tomorrow at your gathering.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation. And I'm looking at his website, providencefoundation.com, and Why We Celebrate Thanksgiving is the article that it's all about, and more what he talked about in the last few minutes.
You know, I got a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
About what Stephen was just talking about, because fantastic story. It seems to me that for generations, the basic outlines of what he was talking about, this was taught in schools from colonial days. I can remember when I was a boy growing up in Alabama, the basic outlines of what he said, maybe not all those details. That was a tremendous story. But I heard a lot of that growing up in the public school system. How, when, and where did we lose that? Because it seems to me that most of the children of America today, number one, they need to hear this. Most of them have never heard this story at all.
That's right.
I mean, it's why? How did we lose it? Who took this story out of the school system?
That's a very good question, Coach Brad.
And I believe it started in the 60s in this country when there was the rebellion against the Vietnam War. That generated a kind of a campus theory that America is bad and that Christian principles make it bad.
And white people.
And for the last 40 or 50 years, our kids have been basically taught that America was built on terrible premises. Christian principles was built on terrible premises. And that's where we are today. Honestly, and when if you think this election wasn't about 50 years of trying to change the minds of our young people, and over the 50 years now, these people have become our reporters. who came out of that system, and our judges, and a lot of our politicians. Yeah. That's where we are today, because what Ray is talking about is not taught anymore.
No, we're taught that the Europeans came over here and basically terrorized the Native Americans and took their land, and therefore we are an illegitimate country from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we all need to pay reparations from here till eternity.
Yep.
Basically, and we're so these are self-loathing people about their own country.
Yes.
When what Stephen just talked about, as Ray's side, we all used to hear about, if you're, I don't know what age, but at least probably 50 up, you heard these stories.
Yes.
And, and they're accurate. Stephen has documentation. This isn't made up. The Indians and the Pilgrims did get together.
Yes.
And they did have a peace treaty. And this idea that the white Europeans came over here and did some people have motives to make money and to use and to come over here, natural resources and such, and to try to make money? And yes, that's true. But that wasn't the Pilgrims.
No,
that wasn't the Pilgrims. And furthermore, I'm always amused when they say it's just the European people of European descent that caused problems and created wars and such. Listen, the Native Americans warred with each other.
Sure.
Every day, all day, over what, Ray? Over land.
Over land, right.
So when the Europeans came over here, they just joined the fight.
Yeah. That's right.
Because, the people want to act like, well, the Native Americans were here and like they had
singing
some kind
kumbaya,
of,
holding hands and all.
Had some kind of sovereign country. Right. No, it wasn't like that at all. Much of the world had yet to be explored yet to be discovered. And so, anyway.
Isn't it interesting, Stephen, point this out, that the Pilgrims came to escape oppression?
Yes.
They came to this country for freedom.
Right.
Do you understand, folks, that we're going back to a thinking where the population has to be oppressed and brought into line, according to government, secular, non-Christian values? It's come full circle.
Yeah, right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, where Chris Woodward is now allowed to speak.
Yes. Well, this is not a popular topic, but I do want to get your thoughts on it. Area leaders, state and local, are continuing to enact more restrictions to combat what they're calling COVID-19 cases. Just a few examples today.
Give us some examples, Chris.
All right. Los Angeles County says no indoor dining for the next 3 weeks. El Paso County in Texas, they're imposing a curfew for most people, saying you can't be out or you shouldn't be out between such and such times. And even in Louisiana, Governor John Bel Edwards is telling people businesses have to go from 75% capacity back to 50% capacity. Even churches in Louisiana, according to the governor, are being told you can only have 75% of people in your worship services going forward. And, you know, one of the things that's been closed for what seems like eternity now is gyms. A lot of people have been trying to take great steps to lose some weight, get in shape, tone up, things like that. And businesses, business owners are really hurting this year based on gym closings. And I've got some sound here. Actor and fitness expert Jake Steinfeld, he's the Body by Jake guy from back in the 90s. He was on Fox and Friends this morning saying that gym closings are bad for people and business owners. Clip 12.
I talk a lot to a lot of these gym owners who are working diligently to keep their fitness centers open. And it's not just about your bodies, it's about your minds. You said it, a lot of the essential workers need to blow off some steam. Not everybody can afford those expensive Pelotons.
That's a good point. I mean, there are a lot of people that are taking advantage of the workout from home thing that's been going on here now. But for people not aware of this, the gym business in America, multi-million dollar. I mean, and a small business owner, on top of all the other small business owners, not good.
Let me ask you guys a question here. What is wrong? Let's just give these mayors and governors the benefit of the doubt for a minute, okay, mm-hmm. and say that they're just doing this to, in the name of public safety. That's what they were elected for, and people don't like it, they can vote them out, right? But what is the end game here, Ray? Do you hear me? What is, in other words, we mentioned the other day, and of course I'm no doctor and I'm not a scientist, but I do know what I've seen viruses in my life, the flu and other things. Mm-hmm. With this COVID, Ray, you're not going to stop it right. by having a closing at 9 o'clock on weekdays, and it's just not going to. What I'm saying is I'm giving you one. Our closing gyms mm-hmm. or things like that. You're not going to stop the virus. So
it would appear some of these governors and some of these mayors are on a power trip, that it has just gone to their head, and they are exercising raw power just to show people that they can do it. I'm not saying that's true everywhere across the country, but power does tend to corrupt. And the truth is, there are some of these leaders, some of these governors and mayors apparently are willing to wreck their own economy mm-hmm. in order to, quote, get rid of the COVID, but it's not going to work. It's going the virus is going to be here
right.
until it's gone.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Fred and Chris. If you tell people, okay, we're going to lock down, or we're going to, in the case of California, they're shutting down what, restaurants, you
mm-hmm.
said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or we're going to lock down, we're going to shut down, we're going to close down, we're going to limit everybody, tell everybody they can't have it. 9.5 people over for Thanksgiving, which after a Thanksgiving meal, it goes to 10.5. but here's the thing. Guess what? When you take that away, right,
mm-hmm.
the virus comes right back
mm-hmm.
until you develop herd immunity.
That's right.
So I'm just saying that you're delaying the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fatalistic. I don't think yeah. That's science, right? You're yes. delaying the inevitable. So why, in the meantime, do you want to make everybody, all these businesses, continue to suffer when people can make up their own minds whether they want to go out and eat dinner?
Right.
That's right.
Or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they have comorbidities, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Underlying conditions?
Yes. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Then, or they're elderly and sick and they're vulnerable, then people can make up their own minds about, I want to stay home. I want to stay away from that situation.
And why would they attack Thanksgiving family celebrations?
Duly noted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just why, crazy.
Why were you? That's well, just taking it. And sheriffs and
right.
police are saying they're not going to.
No,
they're not going over to the Thompson's house and count them.
Right, right. And count the people.
Well, no. And we already know from Newsom that they don't listen to and follow their own rules. You know, he went to that dinner party
yeah, that
there at the French
PR
Laundry. Which, by the way, why is a state like California, which regulates everything and requires extra notes in the owner's manual and warning labels, why do they have a restaurant called Laundry? But anyway.
Yeah, that, you digress.
Yes. But, but
well, we all wondered about that.
Well, here's the thing, though. Yeah. But, you know, talking about the mayors and the governors doing this and that, all these rules, I think it brings us back to the Thanksgiving thing. A lot of people don't know our history and our origins. A lot of people also don't know their constitutional rights, which is allows a mayor and a governor or someone in higher office to do whatever he or she wants, because people don't know that they can do that.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. I guess a counter argument to what I just laid out and what we all believe here, they would say to us, yes, but that's reckless. What you're saying, you just let everything go on as normal because more people are going to get sick.
Right.
And therefore, you're going to increase the stress on the hospital system.
We cannot make and provide for and fund things if we don't have an economy.
You
we can't keep grandma alive if we don't have an economy.
Right.
You know, I think one of the greatest
hypocrisy. But I haven't heard about the hospitals being overrun.
No. Greatest hypocrisy in all of this, you've heard the line, follow the science. Follow
yeah.
the science.
Right.
What is the recovery rate? When we're talking 96 to 99% recovery rate from this. The death rate from COVID, way, way, way below 1%. Listen, we've been dealing with flu bugs in the fall for how many years? And we take precautions. When there are flu bugs, okay. So we alert people to that, so be careful, all of that sort of thing. And it goes to your point, I think it's absolutely ridiculous what these governments are doing now. The governor of Oregon encouraging people to rat on their neighbors.
Really?
Yeah. If you see more than six people going into the Smith house, call the cops.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Brother. She said, you should go out and rat on your neighbors.
Yeah. What do you do if you're like a traditional Catholic family or a family that a Protestant family, any family that has a lot of kids? Like, are you supposed to separate for Thanksgiving if you have, you know, 10 plus people in your nuclear family?
Look, there are a lot of people who have 15, 20, 25 between family and friends. My wife was reminding me that back in the days when we were in the pastorate, we would often have 30 people, 35 people over on Thanksgiving. I guess that would be illegal now. I don't understand.
But illegal? Doggone right. Be illegal. You'd be illegal by three.
That's huh? Right.
The Kowalskis have 37 people.
We're going to fine you $500 for every person you have over. About, you know what? That's what they do in communist countries. Report on your neighbor for having potentially too many people over for a Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's Oregon.
That's Oregon.
I know that we have a lot of listeners who tune in Oregon, who aren't of this ilk.
Yes.
They're having to live under this regime. But what happens is when you live in a state that's dominated by liberals, you have to live under their rules. And these aren't just traditional liberals. These are secular progressives that are power hungry.
Yes.
People. I didn't know the governor. It said, tell us if you see any.
Right on your neighbors.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, we've had some jokes about this, but this was the actual headline from USA Today this morning. Toilet paper panic buying is on a roll again. Okay, so
you worked on that all morning.
No, that's not mine. That's me being newsman. Okay, it's my Les Nessman delivery.
Toilet paper. So what, are we running out of toilet paper again?
We are. You know, there's been a lot of concern that we are headed for another lockdown. Certainly a number of governors and mayors, as we've spent a lot of time talking about thus far, they want people to hunker down and stay in. So as a result of that, people are freaking out, and they're buying up all the Charmin, which is making people like Mr. Whipple smile, as long as they don't squeeze it. So here's, like, if you have not bought paper products, toilet paper, paper towels, things like that, you might want to do that because, as USA Today, Fox News, Newsmax had a story on it just about 20 minutes ago.
We're adding to the toilet paper frenzy.
We are.
By telling people to go out and get it right now before it's gone.
I'm not trying to make you freak out.
You don't need it, Tim, until you need it.
I'm trying to turn it around and tell you to buy it now because people are freaking out based on media reports about COVID-19.
Oh, my word.
So in a country full of trees, we're running short of paper. Something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong.
Well, I'm telling you, these environmentalists, they won't let you cut down trees anymore. Therefore,
that's right.
Therefore, make quilted northern great again, America.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Many contributions to this program.
I'll be here all week.
The last hour. Steve Jarrell on the way in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, Fred, and Ray. We shall return with Steve after this timeout. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.